record.
This is the meeting of the Judiciary Committee. It is Wednesday, April 15th, 2009, at 6:10 in the afternoon. We have a quorum to conduct business. Senator McGuire is here, Senator Wilikowski, and myself, Senator French. Thank you all for meeting at this odd hour, but it is the end of the session, and these things do happen. And I appreciate the committee members' long work and long hours today. So thank you for that. We are going to begin with the revisers bill, CS for House Bill number 152. And we have someone here to present the bill. Let me turn to you.
My name is Catherine Kurtz. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Nice
and
to see you, Ms.
I'm
Kurtz.
An assistant reviser of statutes with the Legal and Research Services Division of the Legislative Affairs Agency. We're required by statute on a two-year cycle to review the Alaska statutes and to prepare legislation to correct deficiencies, remove obsolete provisions, fix errors in the statutes. That's what this bill is. It's a bill to improve the statutes. We've run this by the Department of Law. They've had a chance to review it, to run the relevant provisions past the departments. And you should have a letter of support from them.
I do, and I see that, and I'll note it for the record. Thank you.
And the sectional explains what each change in each section is. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have about the bill.
Thank you. Why don't we go, as I whip through the bill, the way I usually handle the revisor's bill is I stress test it in one or two places to make certain that we're squared away. It's a hard thing for us to walk through section by section, but if I sort of whip it open to a certain page, get the answer that I need to that one section, then I'm at least fairly confident that we've been through it. And it looks to me like the biggest chunk of work was done to Bill Section 82. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Bill Section 82 and maybe tell us why we need to do so much revising on this little chunk of law.
Okay, Bill Section 82 is actually a section full of repealers. And the sectional has the text of each section that's being repealed, and it's also got explanations of them. I'll start walking through them, if that will help.
Please.
AS 0836246A4B is the first one. That is a reference to the Central Regional Examining Board, to a specialty examination offered by that board. That board doesn't offer a specialty examination, so it makes no sense. And we've discussed that with the department. The best solution is to take it out. AS 3105080B was impliedly repealed by the enactment of a different statute, of AS 2210020D.
Looks like it came to your attention in the course of some litigation.
Yes, indeed it did. It's referred to in Allen v. Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. So what we're doing here is making express that repeal, so it's not in the statutes where it's going to confuse someone who maybe isn't familiar with that case.
Maybe I should just interrupt you, Ms. Kurtz. It looks as though these repealers are not related to any single part of the statutes. It's a scattered...
That's right.
It's a collection of repealers I see from Title 8, Title 31, Title 34, Title 46. So there's nothing that links these together thematically. It just happened to be you put all the repealers in one place.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, there's a special constitutional provision. Of course, there's a single subject rule that applies to everything else, but not appropriation bills and not to bills revising the statute.
Oh, really?
Because that enables us to solve a whole lot of small problems at once, technical issues. But it's actually in the Constitution, so that's why we don't have a single subject problem here.
Wonderful. Actually, I think you've satisfied me that you have a good handle on those repealers. Let me turn to Senator McGuire and see if she has any acid test questions on the revisor's bill.
Not at this time, but I do have a comment every once in a while. They're funny. So bill section number 9 corrects an apparent error by changing adopted parent to adoptive parent. Although Alaska law provides a process for parents to adopt children, it does not provide for the adoption of parents by children. I thought that was great. It's an example of things we catch.
Actually, yeah, thank you, Senator McGuire. And while we're enjoying some of the stuff that's in the revisor's bill, bill section 39, according to the sectional, it's sent to us, it's on page 5 of the sectional, replaces the word newsboys and salesmen to avoid the use of gender-specific terms. And I kind of like that. It also, you'll see, It deletes a grammatically incorrect occurrence of the word some, which appeals to the grammarian in me, and as does Section 41, which removes the obsolete date references and changes the word tax to taxation and substitutes that for which, an error that I frequently find myself making, and semicolons for commas to conform to current drafting style. It's something I'll bring to the attention of one of my staffers with whom I have a running, long-standing debate over commas and semicolons. Senator McGuire.
And through the chair, Catherine, thanks for all your hard work every year on this. Starting with Bill Section 1, and then there are many references throughout, this is the concept of replacing the specific reference to division of agriculture with a generic description. And so what does that end up looking like then?
That is...
How do you make a generic reference to
it? The generic reference is we're not naming the division. Instead of naming the division of agriculture of the department, which in this case is the Department of Natural Resources, we're just saying the division that has responsibility for agriculture, because things can be rearranged within departments, museums, libraries, and archives. What if that at some point gets split apart? Then we're going to have an outdated reference in the statute. It won't make sense. So we're anticipating that in some places. In some places, things have already been rearranged, and we're playing catch-up. So that's where we're going with the generic references, is to try and keep things so they won't go out of style.
Right. You have to come back again. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilikowski, any questions about the advisor's bill? Any amendments? Anyone wish to testify about the revisor's bill? Might be a first in the history of the state. Mm-hmm. Anyone online? Ms. Kurtz, closing comments?
No, thank you for reviewing this bill so carefully.
We appreciate, again, as Senator McGuire said, the hard work that you put in. This is exacting, difficult work, and we could not do it without people with rigorous minds. So thank you. With that, I would solicit a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move
that we move
the 2009 revisers bill CSHB 152 with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the bill is moved. Again, Ms. Kurtz, thank you. Yeah, we'll take a 60-second at ease. Go back on the record, and we will take up now a bill we previously heard, and that is SB 68. Just to bring the members up to speed, during the last hearing, as we were closing out, there was some suggestion, I believe, from the ACLU that there was some technical issue that they would want to explore at a future date. We have contacted them, and it's the case that they do not see any changes, that they do not believe there are any changes necessary. And so that's the... that's the current state of affairs, that no one is suggesting that the bill be changed. It's a policy call that I have some, I kind of go a little bit back and forth on, but the bill is, I think it's been looked at, thought about here, and it's ready to go to the next committee. With that, I would solicit a motion.
So moved.
Senator McGuire, go ahead and
move
for the record.
Yeah, Senate thanks. Bill number 68 with individual recommendations. We didn't amend it, right? Individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there objection? Hearing and seeing none, the bill is moved. And again, another 60-second at ease. We're back on the record, and now it is my great pleasure to welcome to the committee Representative Johnson, who has, I just have to say, been very patient and very understanding about our the difficulties we've had with the quorum since we lost Senator Elton. It's just been a little bit tough on all of us. You, I know, have borne the brunt of at least two times having this bill scheduled and had to lose that. I apologize to you on behalf of the committee, and I welcome you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate that, and I do understand the lateness of the hour, and I will try to be as brief as I can. I think HB 49 should be somewhat familiar to the members of this committee. It was brought forth last year and went to Senate Finance, where it died as a result of an amendment that is not on this bill, by the way. But in the way of history, HB 49 kind of started several years ago with a case in New London, Connecticut, where a city determined that it was okay to condemn some real estate based upon a tax structure so that they could increase their tax rolls. In a previous life, I worked as a staffer where I worked on a bill that would prohibit that from happening in Alaska. And one of the side effects of that, we decided as a staff member under the direction of my previous employer to add someone's personal home. That should not be allowed to be taken for recreational purposes. That ownership of land is one of the highest and greatest uses of real estate in our state and our country, and I think that's what makes America great. Having gone through that, several gyrations came up with why should we allow someone's recreational property to be taken for recreational purposes? And therein lies what this bill is all about. If you have a recreational structure, and I'm not talking about raw land, but if you have a recreational structure that's defined in the bill, it's a permanent structure that you own, that someone can't come in, a state or entity cannot come in and say, we like your recreational property, we want it for ourselves, we're going to condemn it and take that property. It still allows for the traditional and justifiable uses of eminent domain, roads, bridges, power lines, natural gas pipelines. Any of those are still on the board, but strictly to say that your recreational property is not as important as recreational property for another group, this is what this bill would do. If you've got 1,000 acres out there, it doesn't count. It is 250 feet from the structure, which translates into about 5 acres. I mean, I know we don't sell parcels in circles, but if you use my limited math skills, that's what you come up with a radius of 250 power squared times the radius. So that's the essence of what this does. It doesn't restrict eminent domain. It just adds recreational property. And the impetus for this comes from, quite honestly, some people in Juneau, some people in Kenai, Big Lake, who are building second homes now that would qualify as recreational properties, but will be their primary residence when they retire. And so that's the primary impetus, Kenai River, Big Lake, Juneau particularly, those are the issues, and Fairbanks as well. So that's the reason I bring this forward. I encourage, I'm available to answer any questions and encourage your support.
Questions for the bill sponsor, Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you. Do you know how many other states have similar legislation as this? Is this fairly common?
Through the chair, or Senator Wilkowski, I do not. It's my personal opinion that Alaska is unique, and I deal with Alaska and try not to deal with Texas any more than I absolutely have to.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Representative Johnson, I frankly can't remember if we made any changes to it the last time it came through this committee. Can you refresh my recollection?
I don't recall, but it was my intention when we drafted this to draft the same bill that got all the way through the body, with the exception of the amendment that was about fishing streams.
But that didn't happen here. That happened in finance.
That happened in finance.
Correct. Right. Senator Wilkowski.
And the only concern I have with this bill is we're losing access all the time. Public is losing access to fishing streams, hunting areas. As people buy up private property, if someone bought up a huge chunk of property around the Kenai River, for instance, what can we do to make sure that Alaskans continue to have access to the river or to hunting areas? That's my only concern with this bill.
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, this allows for access. It doesn't restrict access. It also is only limited to 250 feet from the property. If you've got a, if you have a physical structure, and I guess it's physical structure as opposed to physical structure, then it's only 250 feet.
That time of year.
Yeah. So if someone buys up 1,000 square feet along a river and build a house in the middle of it, well, there's only 200, there's only 500 feet that would, that we could not take. And it would be a very narrow strip. So we're really only talking about a 5-acre parcel, and it's only 250 feet from doorstep to doorstep. So, I mean, it's not circular, but so it is, we did protect it like that, but traditional access is still available. It's not restricted. That was at the request of DNR, if you remember last time that was put into the bill. That's also the true with the home. If it's your primary residence, you can't restrict access to waters because that's a constitutionally guaranteed right. Very careful about that. Want to make sure that we protect that, and that's the reason it's just the 250 feet from the structure.
Yeah. So if there were a series of lots, then where the structure is, you can't have a trail within 250 feet of either side of the structure? Is that how it works?
Through the chair, Senator Wilkowski, that is available for purchase, which you could not go through a very specific eminent domain, process where you sue to get that back. There's nothing saying that if someone wants to sell you that right away, that that can happen, but you can't take it to the courts, and it's only the 250 feet. So if you own, and if also through the chair, if I might, if you have a series of lots, it's only the one you're, it's only the lot your house is on that you own. So even if you have a lot that's 100 square feet, you couldn't take any of that. But if you own the lot next door to it that's subdivided, that would not be available because there's no structure on it. So it would be exempt from this. So it's only the lot where the structure exists and 250 feet from that area.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions for the bill sponsor? I don't see any. We do have one person signed up to testify, Earl Champion from Juneau. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Champion.
Thank you.
Make yourself comfortable there at the chair. I think you know how to introduce yourself to the committee, but please do that and state your affiliation if any. We'd be happy to hear your testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Senator French and members of the committee. My name is Earl Champion. I'm an associate broker here in Juneau with Coldwell Banker Race Realty, and I'm also a member of the Alaska Board of Realtors. So I have testified on this when it was in the other chamber. I know it's late in the evening. We're in support of it, and I encourage you to support it as well. My testimony is on record. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Champion. I think the real estate segment of the world has been pretty staunch in their support of these bills, and I appreciate that.
It's good protection for any investor.
You bet. Anyone else here in the room who wants to testify on House Bill 49? Anyone online who'd like to testify? Hearing and seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony. Any amendments from the committee? Will of the committee?
Motion.
Senator McGuire.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I move that we move CS for House Bill number 49, individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Objections? Hearing and seeing none, the bill is moved. Judiciary Committee come back to order, and we're on the final order of business today, House Bill 170. We have a representative from the prime sponsor's office here. Welcome, Mr. Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Tom Wright, staff to Speaker Chenault, who I thought might be here, but he's out doing other things right now, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 170 repeals the authority for day fines that was passed by the legislature in 1994. The original legislation was used to establish day fines for certain misdemeanor offenses. That was House Bill 119. The legislation required the Supreme Court to create a committee to establish a fine schedule and look at what they could do to implement the day fine process. But the committee found several problems with the implementation of a day fine plan. We requested the legislature in 1995 to introduce legislation to try to straighten things out, and I can kind of go over that a little bit if you'd like. The legislation was introduced, never passed in 1995. Without the changes, the court system couldn't implement the day fine schedule. And for those, Mr. Chairman, I know you've heard this bill before, but for the other two members, day fines were established to fine a person based on their gross daily income.
I'll just say I remember being a prosecutor and coming across the idea of day fines, and I remember scratching my head about them because I always thought, what's up with the day fine? How's it different from a regular fine? And I frankly didn't know until just a couple days ago when you guys presented the bill in State Affairs.
And Mr. Chairman, it's been done in, I believe Scandinavia has, you know, somewhere in Scandinavia, one of the Scandinavian countries has adopted it. And they seem to like it, but, you know, again, you know, it was passed. The changes that were requested by the Supreme Court, it was a Senate bill, never got past Senate Finance in 1995, and Doug Woolver can probably do a little more explanation as to why the changes were needed, but that's why we're asking to repeal the law, because it's on the books, it's not being utilized, and you know, without undergoing major renovation, you know, we're requesting that it be repealed.
Yeah, I mean, they must have more money. Criminal defendants must have more money in Scandinavia than ours do, because my strong impression is that fines are probably the least enforced and least utilized aspect of the criminal justice system. You know, usually by the time a person gets down and getting convicted once or twice of crimes, they're out of money. And so or if they have money, it goes to restitution and not to the fine. Senator Wilikowski had a question.
When the bill was passed, what was the intent? I mean, what were they trying to get at?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilikowski, what they were trying to do is reduce jail time. It's my understanding, at least. They were trying to reduce jail time, you know, through a fine system and make the fine substantive enough where, you know, they would hopefully a person wouldn't repeat again. But it was to try to lessen the prison population.
And if I could, do you know what specific crimes it was really focused at?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilikowski, that's one of the problems that the court system ran into, is which misdemeanor offenses to include or exclude. And that's why they wanted clarification in the 1995 legislation that never passed.
Okay. Yeah, it's really, I mean, if you read the in the backup, there's a letter dated April 26, 1995, and you can really sort of feel, especially towards the back, the frustration of the committee coming through. They wanted to make it work. They couldn't make it work. They tossed the ball back into our laps, and the ball never moved, is the way I see the history. Further questions for the representative, Mr. Wright? I don't hear or see any. Thank you, sir. Mr. Woolver, do you want to come forward since you've been so patient, and it's 6:45? You may as well get a moment on the record and give us your perspective on the bill. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Doug Woolver, administrative attorney for the Alaska court system. I'm just here for questions if you need any more on the backup or anything. As you know, we're usually neutral on bills, but this is something that we've never implemented, and statutes are confusing enough without having provisions that are paragraphs long that don't mean anything.
Actually, I thought of a question I meant to ask Tom, and so let me just do that. This is probably the fourth committee hearing on the bill. Has anybody testified in opposition to it?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, no.
Thank you. Other questions from members of the committee? Is there anyone online? Anyone else in the room back there would like to testify about the bill? Mr. Wright.
Mr. Chairman, I forgot to mention that there was, I think, one no vote on the House floor.
Okay. Can I ask who it was? Just curious.
Mr. Chairman, it was Representative Crawford.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else here in the room wants to testify? Don't see any. Anybody online that wants to testify about this piece of legislation? Hearing and seeing none, we'll close public testimony. And is there committee discussion? Senator Wilikowski.
You ready for a motion?
Yes, I am.
I would move that we move House Bill number 170 out of committee onto the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
And hearing and seeing no objection, the bill is moved. If you'd send our regards to the speaker and tell him we hope his day ended a little better than it started.
Oh, I think probably it's still a little. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll go into adjournment.